Good to see you all gathered in this Sunday morning. You're all very welcome on this lovely, crisp and dry and frosty. You can't beat it. It's great to have you with us. If you're visiting with us this morning, you're very welcome. And feel free to sign the visitor's book in the vestibule. If you're joining with us online on Facebook or through YouTube, you too are very welcome. We trust and pray that you enjoy our morning worship service together. I just have a few announcements for your attention this morning. If you just bear with me. Just a reminder that this afternoon, our BB and GB joint enrolment service will take place here in the church at 3:30. And I would like to encourage each and every one of you to come back this afternoon to support our youth organisations here in the congregation. They do an amazing work, not only BB and GB, but also our Sunday school. And your attendance would just give them that wee bit of encouragement and support. And I think I said in a wee message this week on our WhatsApp, we're engaging with somewhere about 162 young people through BB and GB alone. And that's a tremendous number of young people coming through our church doors weekly. So well done to all involved in the youth ministry. Children will leave for church after the singing of the children's seminar. Also a reminder to say that there's a creche room available just towards the kitchen. PW will meet on Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Janine Graham will be the guest speaker and ladies of the congregation are invited. Midweek prayer meeting, Bible study on Wednesday evening as usual, 8 p.m. and that will be led by our minister, the Reverend Moody. And on Thursday, we're pleased to announce the recommencement of our Senior Citizens Fellowship and that will commence at 10:30 a.m., although there will be tea and coffee available from 10 a.m. So it would be great if you could come along to that. Anybody who is of that generation who feel they would love to come along to that, it's there on Thursday morning at 10:30. And Thursday evening, just a reminder to say that the worship band will meet for a practice here in the church at 7:30 p.m. And new members will be made very welcome to that. The PW will have a coffee morning next Saturday morning from 10 until 12. And then more good news to say that next Saturday evening, the youth fellowship will recommence with a games night. So it's a night of food and games. That'll be in the manse from 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. And then youth fellowship will recommence again with a full program from the 5th of November through. And they'll be meeting on the 1st and the 3rd Sunday of each month in the Morrison Room. Next Sunday morning worship services as normal at 11:30 a.m. And that'll be led by the Reverend Moody. And then the final announcement I want to make is just to say that the Men's Fellowship will meet next Monday evening, the 23rd of October at 8 p.m. in the Morrison Room. And the guest speaker will be our own minister, the Reverend Moody, who will be interviewed, I'm told here, by Mark Jeremy Paxman Bronte. So I'm assuming they all know who that is, but it'll be great to have Mark involved in that. And also just finally say there are some Presbyterian heralds in the vestibule. If you normally get one or you know someone who does, make sure to pick up your copy this morning as you leave. These are all announcements and I hand over to the Reverend Moody.
Thank you, David. Good morning. And welcome to our service of worship here at First Roof Ireland. Just to say for the meeting on Thursday morning, there will be a few photographs used. Photographs of myself when I was a baby and a young one. So if you want to see some of them as well as hear my testimony and how God has been leading, all glory, of course, to him, come along to that. But you may have a little time to laugh as well at some of the pictures of me when I was a wee. But it will be a good time of fellowship as we have the Lord Jesus at the centre of all that's done. In Galatians 2, verse 20, we read this. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. We come to worship a God today who loves us, who cares for us, a God who leads us as we come to him through Christ, as we follow his ways, Let us stand and worship him as we sing our first hymn, How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. Okay, we're going to have to use the books. Let's see. Sorry? 133. 133, How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. Sorry? Okay, 247. Okay. So 247, How Lovely Is Thy Dwelling Place. Let us worship the Lord together. Hopefully you all have access to a book. Let's stand and worship God together. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can live in your presence as your children, as those who have come before you, submitting our lives to you, confessing our sinfulness and trusting in Christ. Lord, we thank you that we can live in your presence, enjoying your blessings now and forever. Lord, we give you praise. And as we gather, Lord, we bring our confessions to you also. We confess over the past week that we have not lived as your people should live at times, doing things that your word tells us we should not do, not doing the things your word tells us we should do. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, we pray, and help us. Help us to go out into a new week, living for you, doing what you would have us do. Lord, we pray today in this service you will challenge us afresh through your word. Refresh us as we sing your praises so we can go out and live for you, bringing joy and refreshment to those that we're with, bringing your word as opportunity arises. Lord, help us, encourage us through this service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. In our Bible reading today, we come to Exodus chapter 11. We're going to read from Exodus 11, and then we're going to go over to the Gospels, to the Gospel of Mark. So Exodus chapter 11, reading from verse 1 to 10. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now the Lord had said to Moses, I will bring one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. After that, he will let you go from here. And when he does, he will drive you out completely. Tell the people that men and women alike are to ask their neighbors for articles of silver and gold. The Lord made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people. And Moses himself was highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. So Moses said, this is what the Lord says. About midnight, I will go throughout Egypt. Every firstborn son in Egypt will die, from the firstborn son of Pharaoh, who sits on the throne, to the firstborn son of the slave girl, who is at her handmill, and all the firstborn of the cattle as well. There will be loud wailing throughout Egypt, worse than there ever has been or ever will be again. But among the Israelites, not a dog will bark at any man or animal. Then you will know that the Lord makes a distinction between Egypt and Israel. All these officials of yours will come to me bowing down before me and saying, go you and all the people who follow you. After that I will leave. Then Moses, hot with anger, left Pharaoh. The Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh will refuse to listen to you, so that my wonders may be multiplied in Egypt. Moses and Aaron performed all these wonders before Pharaoh, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the Israelites go out of his country. Amen. Now turning over to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 12 to 13. At once the Spirit sent him into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. Amen. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Now, if the children will come up to the front, I will come down and speak to each one there.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
That's better.
Just making sure you're all alive, ready to talk. Tell me this. Have you ever had a warning? Have you ever been warned? Cody? Well, you don't need to tell me why, but you have been warned a few times, yeah? Who hasn't been warned a few times here in church? Anyone? All of us have been warned at times. I remember when I was young, I was warned, now you be quiet or else. You do your homework, or else. Sometimes we receive warnings. And for a warning to be a warning, it has to mean something. You go to sleep, or you're not going to town to get something, get a present, get a prize. There's a warning. What about this warning? Would this affect you? If you're not going to be quiet, you won't go to school tomorrow. Would that make you stop doing the wrong thing? Yeah, there's definitely someone in my house that would stop doing it because they love going to school. But a warning, warnings are there for us. They're there to help us and also to help others. If you see a warning, well, not that you drive, yet anyone here drive? Yeah, some people here in the congregation drive. If you see a warning, road closed, what do you do? Do you drive on down that road? Oh, I'm asking, but you still don't drive yet. Do you? Not yet. What do you do when you see a sign that says road closed? You don't do what my wife just said there. Did you all hear that? See how far you can get down the road. That's what I'm putting up with. Hopefully you don't go down that road, because if you do, you'll end up in difficulty. Warnings are important. They're there for a reason. Well, remember, Pharaoh received his warnings from God. And did Pharaoh listen to God's warnings? Did he? No, he did not. And he would not let God's people go. So there was going to be a final warning. God warned. We don't need Netflix today. Anyway, God warned Pharaoh again. Another plague, the most terrible plague of all. Listen to this. Unless you let my people go, there will be death. The firstborn of every family, the firstborn son and the firstborn animal will die. That was a terrible warning, but this was so serious. Pharaoh had continually disobeyed God. God was now going to show that he had power over life and death with this horrible warning. But you see, disobeying God, it's a serious thing, isn't it? It's a very serious thing, the Bible says. And the Bible says we all do it. We all disobey God. And our disobedience, the Bible calls sin, means we are separated from God and his blessings. Our sin, the Bible says, deserves to be punished by God. It's a serious thing to disobey God. The Bible warns that continually. And we have to listen to that. So this was a terrible warning. But what about God's people? What about God's people? Well, God would take care of them. God had given them a way that they would not suffer. They were to take a lamb, a little lamb, a perfect lamb, and they were to have a roast lamb dinner. Would that be nice? Maybe some would like that, some wouldn't. But that's exactly what they were told to do. They had to take the lamb. They had to have a special dinner that they still remember today, by the way. But they had roast lamb and special bread that didn't rise, flat bread and other things. And they were to eat that meal and enjoy it. At this terrible time, could they trust God? What do you think? Should they have tried to run for it instead? What do you think? Could they trust God? Of course they could. They could trust God. But God told them to do something else. God told them, take some blood of that lamb, the lamb you were going to eat beautifully roasted, and put it on the doorposts. Now that's very strange, isn't it? But that's what they were to do. And if they did that, then they would be safe. They would be safe if they took the lamb and put the blood on the doorposts. The Bible calls Jesus the Lamb of God. John the Baptist said, and the parents looked at that a few weeks ago, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Talking about Jesus. Jesus died on the cross. His blood shed for you and for me, so you and I could be forgiven. So we would not be separated from God, but so we could enjoy him now and forever, so we could have life to the full. Jesus, the Lamb of God, died on the cross. God has made a way for us to be safe. That is Jesus. God had made a way for his people to be safe from this terrible plague, but only if they obeyed. Only if they obeyed. So that night, they had their meal. They had their bread. They had the lamb. They did what God said. And those that did what God said, well, that night they were safe. Those who had put the blood on the doorposts, even those, it seemed very strange, those that did it, they were safe. But those that didn't do it, well, that night there was great crying and screaming throughout the whole land with the Egyptians as their firstborn son died, just as God had said. But those who had put the blood on the doorposts, they were safe. God had provided a way. And those who listened and obeyed, they were safe. And it's the same for us. God has provided a way for all of us through Jesus, his blood shed for me and for you on the cross. So it's important that you trust in him. And remember, if you have any questions about that, what it means to trust in Jesus, make sure you ask. Ask your Sunday school teachers. You need to know exactly what that means, because Jesus died for you so you can be forgiven, so you can know him now and forever. Pharaoh did not listen to God. He did not take God's way. But now, after this terrible plague, what do you think? Would he do what God said? Would he? Finally, he did. He said to Moses, "Get out! You get out and get your people out. Take them out into the desert to worship God." Finally, Pharaoh was listening to what God said. A little bit late, wasn't he? It's important that we make sure we listen to what God says as soon as we can. Make sure you listen to what God says. Listen to the Bible. Listen to what he says. Because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God. But because of God's love, he sent Jesus, the Lamb of God, who died on the cross, so we can be with God, so you can enjoy God now and forever. Make sure you trust in Jesus, the Lamb of God. Sins forgiven, life eternal. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, your Son, the Lamb of God, who came and gave his life for us on the cross, so we could be free, so we could know you now and forever. Lord, I pray you will help each one here put their trust in Jesus so they can know you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to sing our children's praise, "Father, I Place Into Your Hands."
The words that you
In our prayers of intercession today, we are going to remember the land of Israel-Palestine. Israel, as you know, are preparing to take ground troops into northern Gaza after all the violence of last weekend. Other states around are talking about how they will get involved as well. A troubling time. Of course, times that the Bible points to. So we need to pray about this situation. We need to be praying ourselves in our own personal times. But we'll be coming together today to pray. And in the middle of this prayer, I'm going to leave a time of silence so you can pray in those moments just quietly yourself. And then I will finish the time of prayer. So we're going to focus on this situation, bring it before the Lord in prayer today. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord, this morning we come to you in prayer. Lord, we seek your help. We seek your wisdom, your guidance, as we bring our prayers before you, particularly in this situation. Lord, we pray today for the people of Israel and Gaza, that God will grant them, that you will grant them your divine protection, and that you will bring peace to this troubled region. Lord, I pray that you will shield them with your wings, O Lord, and keep them safe in your refuge. Comfort those at this time who have lost loved ones, we pray. Lord, we continue to lift up the hostages, those including women and children, those being held in different parts of Gaza. Lord, we ask for their safe release and that you will comfort them in the midst of this terrible time. Comfort them in their distress. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will grant wisdom and discernment to the different leaders involved, to the Prime Minister of Israel, to those who are making decisions during this difficult time. Lord, may they seek your guidance in every step, we pray. Lord, we pray for those innocent civilians in Gaza, those who are suffering. Lord, we pray that you will have mercy on them and provide for their needs. Cause ways to be opened up so their needs can be met with food, with water, with medical care, with shelter as they leave the north of Gaza. Lord, keep them safe. Prince of Peace, we cry out for an end to the violence and bloodshed. Bring about reconciliation and understanding among these conflicting groups of people. Lord, we pray that your peace will prevail. And Lord, we pray for world leaders. We pray for those leaders in the Middle East. Lord, may they work towards a peaceful resolution and support efforts to bring an end to this conflict. Lord, we pray in this difficult situation that, Lord, your will be revealed, that your comfort, your strength will be given to those who need it as they need it. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to challenge us in how we should pray over these difficult things. Lord, lead us now in these moments, moments of silence in our own personal prayers as we bring them to you, our Lord. Heavenly Father, we humble ourselves before you. We seek your face. Lord, we pray that you will heal the land, bring unity among people, and let your love shine through even in this dark, dark time, we pray. Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Messiah, our Savior. Amen. Let us stand to worship our God once again this time as we sing, "Here is love vast as the ocean." Temptations. There are temptations all around us. Possibly some temptations we have faced already today. Perhaps there was the temptation to stay in bed, tired after a week, maybe cold outside, tempting to stay under those blankets. Tempted to eat more than we should. Maybe that's just me, but I find a buffet, especially a Chinese buffet, very, very tempting. So many lovely things. Sometimes I think it's rude not to try them all, but of course shouldn't. Temptations. That temptation to take something that does not belong to you. It looks good. It's there within your reach. Tempting to take it. Tempting to say something at times that we shouldn't. We think it. We say it and then realize to our peril afterwards we shouldn't. There are lots of temptations around us, some small, some very serious, and sometimes what people may call temptation actually isn't. But the Bible makes it clear we are all tempted at times. As long as you have a pulse, you will be tempted. And in the next section we're looking at in Mark, we find that even Jesus was tempted. We find a portion here of called Jesus' temptation. In Mark, it gives two verses to this whole temptation. Time in the desert. In Matthew, there's 12 verses. I don't know, Luke 13. But Mark, as we said at the very beginning, is always concise. If only we could all be as concise as Mark. If only the minister were as concise as Mark at times. He tries to be. But Mark is very concise, only giving you those specific details you need at this time. And again, we find here it says at once. Mark moves us from scene to scene. Jesus' baptism has just taken place. This amazing declaration of who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit descending upon him. His Father has declared who he is. And then at once, we're told the Spirit takes him into the desert. No hanging about here. He is taken from the Jordan, from this beautiful event. He is sent out into the desert, the wilderness, to be tempted. And we're told, of course, that it's not God that tempts him here. It is the devil. But this is something that God wants his son to go through, make no mistake. And we'll see why as we go through. He is there, we're told, for 40 days. Now that's a long time. In Matthew it says he fasted for 40 days and nights. In Luke it says he ate nothing for 40 days. Obviously his heavenly Father was with him. You and I could not survive without food for 40 days. Water after 3 days would find it difficult. I find it difficult missing out a couple of meals. But here we find Jesus fasting, eating nothing for 40 days. And again, the significance of that number, of course. We find Moses stayed at Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights with no water and drink. Elijah stayed at Mount Horeb again after traveling for 40 days and 40 nights. But by the time 40 days were up, Jesus would certainly have been weak, tired. And it's at this point, Matthew and Luke makes it clear, it is at this point that Satan comes. Satan comes at his weakest to tempt him. Satan comes to tempt him, the great enemy of God, exposed to us first in Genesis when he tempts Eve through the serpent. Satan, once an angel but fell due to pride, he wanted to be like God himself. It is Satan that comes to tempt Jesus, the one who would crush his head, as Genesis 3 verse 15 reminds us. Mark does not go into how he tempts Jesus. Very concise, very short. Matthew and Luke, of course, do. We are shown in these accounts that Satan is trying to get Jesus to turn against his Father's will, seeking to destroy God's plans. And Satan even uses Scripture to do so. We find that from Matthew 4, verse 6, the account. He uses Psalm 91, for example. Satan uses Scripture, the holy word of God, in his temptation of Jesus. And that reminds us that we need to be careful. We need to be careful that we do not take God's word out of context. That we do not take it, twist it, and use it to back up our own point of view. We should never do that. As we were saying in the midweek, I think last week, always look at verses of Scripture in context. We can hear very familiar verses, verses that are familiar to us, but sometimes we have no idea where they are in Scripture, what they actually mean in context. That is dangerous. Be careful of others, including ministers. If they take God's word, single verses, and use them out of context, trying to say something that the Bible does not say, do not tolerate that. That is what Satan did here. Remember that. Satan takes God's word, twists it, and uses it to try and tempt the Lord Jesus. The devil came tempting Jesus. And of course, he also tempts us, the Bible says. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Because the devil will tempt you. He does not want you to live your life for God. He does not want you to be a useful servant of God, a useful witness that God calls each one of us to be. The Bible says we are tempted from without, but we are also tempted from within. We are tempted at times by our own evil desires. That little quote, "the devil made me do it," does not really hold water when you look through Scripture. James 1 verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed." We are sinful by nature. We may all look very well, dressed up, smiles on our faces, but remember, we are sinners. I am a sinner. I am far from perfect. None of us are perfect apart from Christ. At times, we are tempted by our own desires. If your desire pushes you away from God, if your desires take you away from what God's word says, then they are wrong. Then they are wrong. They will do you harm in the long term, not good. And as long as you live, you will struggle with temptations from without and from within. tempted to go against the Father's will. We know what God says at times, but we want to do the opposite. And we can start to list reasons why in our specific situation, it's all right just this once to do what you know you shouldn't do. We're very good at listing reasons, aren't we? Trying to convince ourselves that it's okay. It's not. Temptations can look good. They can sound reasonable, just as Satan did with Eve and with Jesus. But they're temptations because they do lead us away from God's word. They lead us to sin. Be careful. Being tempted, of course, is not sin. Is it? Is your minister misquoting scripture when he says that? Well, Hebrews 4 verse 15 tells us, a very well-known verse in context, says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." So if Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are, then that cannot be sin itself, can it? He was without sin. Hard for us to wrap our minds around that. Jesus was God. He was also human. There is no temptation that you experience that Jesus did not. When the Bible says he was human, he was human. He was tempted in every way, yet never sinned. Never sinned. When that temptation goes towards sin, Jesus never went there. But being tempted is not a sin. Yielding to it is sin. Doing that thing you're tempted to do that you know you shouldn't, that is where the sin is. When you do it, when you keep that sinful thought in your head, those thoughts that are sinful, sin is there. When you give in to that desire, when you do exactly what you know you shouldn't, that is sin. Jesus never did that. Never. But Jesus knows what it's like to be tempted. Never forget that. He knows what you're going through, the temptations you face. Because he was one of us. Yet he never gave in, not even once. Doesn't matter if you give in to your desires. If you give in to your temptations. As Christians, we are saved by grace. We are saved by what Jesus did. The Lamb of God, shedding his blood on the cross for you and for me. We are saved by trusting in Jesus. He has taken the punishment for our sin. And then we are called to live our lives for him, to be salt and light in this world, making a difference wherever we go. So when we yield to temptation, what happens? Does it matter? The Bible says, yes, of course, it does matter. When you give in to sin, the Bible says, you grieve the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4 verse 30, we're told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. As Christians, the Holy Spirit lives in us, dwells in us. When we sin, when I sin, when you sin, we grieve him. If you're grieving the Holy Spirit, you're not being filled with the Holy Spirit, empowered for service. And then we're not able to do the tasks that God has called us to do. Remember, the gifts that we use for his people, the gifts that we have are from God through the Holy Spirit. So we must be careful. We should not grieve him. When we yield to temptation, the Bible says he will discipline us. None of us likes to be disciplined. I hated it in school. I remember, well, there was times that for some reason I was sitting on the principal's seat outside his office. And sometimes I had to be taken in, and then it was a little wooden cane that came down in your hand for discipline. I know I don't look that old, but yes, that used to happen when I was young, and I hated that so much so that when I used to go back to do assemblies, I looked at that chair and was just shivers went down my spine. None of us likes to be disciplined when we do wrong, although we need it, don't we? Hebrews 12 verse 6 tells us, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. When we yield to temptation, there will be discipline. God will not tolerate his children simply doing as they like, just as you wouldn't. He corrects. There can be consequences, and they can be painful when we yield to temptation. It also can affect our witness for God. Whole ministries have been shattered because someone has given in to a moment of weakness in terrible ways. God forgives us, doesn't he? God forgives us, thankfully, when we do wrong, when we submit our lives to him, asking him to forgive us. But some people will never forget. And sometimes our ministries can be shattered because of the things we do, the way we yield in public. It can also, of course, affect our prayers. Psalm 66, verse 18, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Sin in a Christian life is serious. It stops us being what we can be for God. It stops our witness. It hinders our relationship with our God. We should not tolerate it. What did Jesus do with temptation? He is our greatest hope. He is our example. What did he do? Well, of course, we find he used Scripture. He knew his Scripture so well. Do you? Do you know Scripture? Does Scripture come to your mind? Does it filter through your mind day by day? What you read? Letting it filter through, then applying it in the way you live? It's important that we know Scripture. We know what it says. We know what it means. We teach memory verses to children. Not simply what the words are, but what it means. So they can go out and apply those verses. As adults, we read Scripture, asking God to challenge us through it and then go and live it. It's important we take time to read it, to learn it. It's not just children who should memorize Scripture. We may find it a little bit harder when we get older, but we can still learn it, and we should learn it and use it. Ask God through the Holy Spirit to apply it into our everyday lives. It's important we continually immerse ourselves in Scripture so we can stand, so we will not yield when that temptation comes. The Bible also tells us other things we should do when temptation comes. We should resolve to say no. Sometimes we're very good at saying no. Our desire should be, our resolve should be to live for God and saying no to sin. Daniel 1 verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. It's important that we have the mindset to say no to sin. Because it matters when we sin as Christians. Can you imagine a soldier going into battle with the aim of not getting hit that much? We can be sure if that is our aim, we will be hit. Not with bullets, but with temptations over and over again. That's a quote from Jerry Bridge in Pursuit of Holiness. Our desire should be never to give in to temptation. Resolve to say no to temptation and yes to God continually. That should be our baseline, our norm as Christians. Zero tolerance of sin in our lives. Often we can be very intolerant of sin in other people's lives. We forget our own. We are to continually look inward, have a zero tolerance policy of sin in our own lives. When we see it, when we do yield, confess it straight away and ask God's help to say no and do what's right. Jesus is the one that sets the mark for us. We are to focus on the grace of God. Titus 2:11-12, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age. Keep focusing on God's grace, who God is, what God has done for you, the price that's been paid for you. Keep that in mind, Scripture tells us, as you read his word, as you come to church together, as you sing his praises, keep focused on who God is and what he has done for you. Constantly reminding yourself of the seriousness of sin. So serious that God sent his son to die for it, to die for your sin. That's how serious sin is. focus on the grace of God and flee from it. That's what Joseph done, wasn't it? When he was confronted with temptation, Potiphar's wife asking him to come and lie with her, he turned and fled. He got out of that situation straight away. And that's something practical for us to think of too. When we're in those situations and temptation comes, get out of them as soon as you can. Realize we are weak, but he is strong. Therefore, we should not allow ourselves to stay in those situations we find difficult for long, and avoid them if possible. If certain situations will leave you tempted to do what you know you shouldn't, avoid them as much as possible. Drink. Avoid places where drink is served if you can, if drink is a problem. Gossip. If gossip is a problem for you, because gossip, of course, is a sin, but if it's something that you need to stay away from, avoid places where people gather to gossip. If gossip is going to take place, remove yourself from that group. If it doesn't stop. The same with hatred, pride. We need to avoid those places. We cannot live in a bubble, but neither do we live at the edge of a cliff. You know the things that are difficult for you, the situations that are difficult for you, things that you can yield to very quickly. Try and avoid situations. And it's important to submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What a promise from God to you and to me. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Do not give in. Resistance is not futile. He will flee. What a promise. Have you ever resisted enough to see that? Often we give in so quickly. Resist. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Jesus here we find was helped through his temptation, time of temptation. He never gave in. There was ministering angels. The Bible says God will help you too. You're not alone. Never forget that. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will always provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God is there helping you in your weakest times. He will show you as you pray, as you ask him, that way out. But you have to be willing to take it. Pray that God will continually make you willing to take that way out so you do not give in to temptation. Realize how serious it is. Yielding is sin. Take that way out. As Christians, you've committed your life to God. As a Christian, I have committed my life to God to live it out. We need his help to live out this commitment with his help. Walk closely with him. Saturate yourself in his word. Resolving, avoiding, fleeing, focusing. Confessing when you fail. So continually, we can be of use to God in this place and beyond. So we can be the people God calls us to be. We are not perfect. I am far from perfect. Christ is perfect. We have his example here of what to do through temptation. Do not yield. Know your scripture. Know your God and seek to follow him, seeking his strength, not to yield to temptation. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you loved us so much. You gave us your Son. For those times when we have sinned, when we will sin, Jesus died on the cross, his blood shed, so we can be your children. We thank you for that. But Lord, help us. Help us have the will, the desire to take a stand for you. Help us to live for you. Help us to say no to the temptations that come our way day after day. Help us stand strong for you so we can serve you, be a witness for you in this place and beyond. Help us not to yield to temptation, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to stand and sing our final hymn, which has to be, of course, the hymn, Yield Not to Temptation. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you, both now and forevermore. Amen.